Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Women's Football Success. This is episode 1821. I'm your host, Lynn Marie Liberty Ellington, and I'm really excited to have you guys here today. This is actually going to be part two of our business plan for women's football, and then we're also going to talk about questions you should ask when joining a league or a team. So we'll get to that in a little bit, and then I have a couple of announcements about some tryouts that different teams are having. So hold on just a sec. Sorry, I had to get my soda in so my voice doesn't start. You can hear that my voice is already starting to crack, and it's just now first thing Tuesday morning. A disclaimer, again, my name is Lynn Liberty Ellington, and I am also an attorney licensed to practice law in the state of Arkansas. But I want you to know that even though I am an attorney, I'm not your attorney. So any of the information that I provide in digital material or print material, website, blogs, Facebook, ebooks, etc., all the things that we have going, that is business information only and should not be considered legal information or creating a legal binding relationship. So this does not create an attorney-client relationship by you guys hearing this information. If you have a legal situation that requires an attorney, talk to somebody in your jurisdiction that has experience in the area of concern that you have. So real quick, last week I talked about the super small business plan for women's football, and I provided that on the website. Our website is set up under supersmallbiz.com because that is my consulting area. That's where I have all my consulting information. If you look over to the right, you'll see that I charge upwards of $800 to do this stuff with most super small businesses. When we talk about super small businesses, we're talking 0 to 10 employees. You can have a bunch of volunteers, which is very similar to women's football, but you have 0 to 10 employees or owners. So what we were talking about last week, I got through the basic area of a business plan, which starts with the executive summary. And I'm just going to name them off real quick to kind of give you guys a refresher. I'm not going to go into detail what those are, but then I'm going to start on the 9 components that I've created. It's exclusive to what I do. So on a basic business plan, and you can get this off of any website or any web address, entrepreneur.com or Inc. or any basic business planning book. You're going to want to have an executive summary, a disclaimer, mission statement, vision statement, core business purpose and values, the product and service description. A lot of people in women's football don't realize that when I ask them the question, are you a product or a service? And you're actually a product. So the women's football team is a product. And then industry overview, which is very tricky to determine because it's changing day by day. And then, of course, there's your direct competition and indirect competition. So as part of your business plan, you want to create what it looks like in your area locally, but also nationally. And then market share analysis, barriers to entry, sales and marketing plan, pricing, branding, and marketing strategy, operations plan, startup expenses, if you're a startup company. Now, if you've already started up, you probably already know those numbers and you can just kind of jot those in. But typically when you're setting up a business plan, it's at the beginning of your business. Now, let me just step back real quick. If you are starting out, it's very important for you to have a business plan to know where you're at and where you're going. But let's just say that you started in women's football and you never created a business plan. You want to do that sooner rather than later, because what's happening is you are running around on a hamster wheel, kind of going and trying to do everything and trying to get yourself noticed by everybody. And you're doing yourself a disservice because you just don't have time to do that. And I'm going to share with you some reasons why you can't do that. So again, startup expenses, and then a financial plan is kind of a projection of what you think is going to happen. And then you need to revisit that business plan at least every 3 months. It used to be people would look at it every year or every 2 years, but you want to revisit that quickly. And there's several reasons why, but One of them is that business is running on a quicker cycle now than it was 10 years ago. And a lot of the information that businesses are using are for small businesses. Now, by definition, a small business is any business under 500 employees, depending on what industry. If you go to the Small Business Administration, there's about 700 different definitions by industry. So a business in real estate is going to have a different definition for what a small business is, as opposed to financial advisors or concrete companies, et cetera. But a small business typically in general is 500 employees or less. Most businesses are super small businesses, and women's football is exactly that. Women's football has every team has way less than 500 employees. So a lot of the processes and procedures that women's football teams are using have to do with small business, 500 employees or less. It just doesn't make sense. So most of the businesses in the U.S. are super small businesses, and that again is 10 or less employees. That is typically about 90% of all businesses and about 99% of women's football. Again, in women's football, we typically have several volunteers, players, and several volunteers, staff, and or owners are even volunteers, but typically there's 0 to 10 employees, maybe even one employee, or maybe it's just the owner running everything. So it's very important that you set up your business plan in a way that is ideal for a super small business. Now, the components that I've created, the additional 9 components of a super small business, that is my baby. Those are my components. That's the exclusive information that I provide to people that finally realize that they have a super small business. And I'm going to say this in general, and then I'm going to apply it to women's football. So not only do you need this business plan, but these extra 9 components are super important to a super small business. One is an action plan. So whatever your goals are, how are you going to attain those? What actions are you going to put in place? What actions are you going to do, or what actions are you going to give other people to do to make sure that your business is successful pertaining to the goals that you've set up? And then number 2 is a customer connection strategy. How are you as a team, women's football, going to connect with the customers? What is the strategy for that? And that should be known by all of your players, all of your staff, all your coaches, so that they are not giving the wrong idea or the wrong explanation for what your women's football team is. Does that make sense? If one person's saying, oh, we do semi-pro, oh no, we're professional, oh no, we're recreational, if everybody's giving different ideas of what your organization are, then the customers are confused. So number 3 is a promotional calendar. Now, I've included a basic promotional calendar on the women's football, the supersmallbiz.com. Click on women's football, and then under support staff, there's a calendar there that talks about where you should be at during the month of September, and I'll talk about that in a minute as well. But your business, you should have a super, super detailed promotional calendar. What are you going to do on Instagram? What are you going to do on Twitter? What are you going to do on all your social media? Are you not going to use a particular social media because you don't like it or don't know how to use it? But you should also have what you're going to say in those promotions, what you're going to say to the customers on Facebook. It shouldn't just be just this random post every couple days. There should be a rhyme and reason to why you are posting every post that you do. And that's what a promotional calendar helps you with. Okay, so now number 4 is a contingency plan. What are you going to do if that doesn't work? There should be a contingency plan if you are not bringing in as much money as you thought you were, if you are not selling as much product as you thought you were, if you are not bringing in enough people to the stands, if you're not getting the kudos in the community, you need to have contingency plans on all of those aspects of your business. What happens if you don't get enough fans in your stand? You're expecting 1,000 and that's what you budgeted for on your business plan, but you're only getting 250 people in the stands. What are you gonna do? What's your suggestion for the next phase? Number five is responsibility chart. This is super huge, especially with volunteers. Especially if your support staff is volunteers. Now, I've had some really good support staff that have been with me for years that are volunteers, and I have some support staff that fall out every single year. For example, on streaming games. You know, somebody volunteers to do that. They want to do that. They have all the equipment. Great. We set it up. They don't show up. What happens? That was their responsibility, but now you're in a pickle or you're in trouble because you can't stream your games or your practice or whatever you're wanting to stream. So also responsibility chart for game day operations. When a game's going on, who's doing what? Who's at concession stands? Who's at the merch table? All those different things. Do you have enough officials? Do you have enough sidelines, chain holders, chain gang is what we call them. Do you have a water boy, water girl, or is it just going to be a volunteer and you hope they're going to show up? So make sure that you have a responsibility chart that people know that they are going to be held accountable for. My recommendation on that situation is responsibility chart. Have three people responsible for it and one will show up. If two show up, great. If three show up, even better. But make sure you have three that are responsible for the same thing. Okay, number six is community involvement program. So with all of my super small biz clients and with all of my super small biz businesses that I have, I make sure that there's a community involvement program. Now, a lot of teams, if you go look on their Facebook, they are all scattered all over the place. They're promoting at this and they're promoting at that and up here and down there. You really, again, get back to that focus, get back to that action plan, get back to the promotional calendar, and your community involvement should match or be in line with your vision and mission for the women's football team. Okay, let's talk about number seven is a social media blueprint. Now, we talked about the promotional calendar, and that's kind of like what you're going to talk about or what you're going to address each month in the calendars. The social media blueprint is what types of social media you're actually going to use and how you're going to use them. Now, if you're unfamiliar with social media, you need to get familiar and get familiar fast. We're going to hold a class on social media in the coming weeks, because I want all of the women's football teams to be on target with social media, what they should be doing and should not be doing. A lot of teams are doing really well, but they're not clicking on some certain buttons that they should be clicking on that would double their success on social media. Other teams aren't using social media the way they should be. They're putting up different things than what they should be. And some social media really is helpful with certain types of things, whereas other social media isn't. So if you're trying to post the same thing on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and your blog, it's really doing you a disservice. So, we're going to do a class on that and help everybody get to where they need to go on that. Okay. So after your social media blueprint of what you're going to use and how you're going to use it, let's go with number eight, growth proposition. So this has to do with how you want to grow, what you want to grow. I put it in kind of like a goal setting. So what in your women's football team, there's some things that you can measure. So you should know how many people came to your football games. What type of growth do you want to have this year? So let's say you had 250 people come into your game and you want it to be 1,000. 1,000 at every game. Now, not only are you going to set a growth proposition to increase your people in the stands by whatever percentage you want, but that also goes into your customer connection, that goes into your promotional calendar, that goes into community involvement programs and how you address community involvement. Because if you can somehow tie your community involvement into growing people in the stands, and then also have that connected with your promotional calendar, it's a win-win-win, right? You're having to do less action, less activity to get the same thing to happen. So it's very, very important. So then number 9 basically is expansion agenda. And that has to do with additional things that you're going to get into. So for example, some teams have their, I'm just going to give a couple examples. Some teams have a stadium that they can't sell concessions at. Some teams don't want to sell concessions. Some teams want to get some of those food trucks to sit outside, and they get a percentage of what the food truck sells. That's an option. So if you're in a situation, for example, that you don't get concessions right now and they will allow a food truck, then an expansion agenda for number 9, one of those may be to provide food through a food truck and get a percentage of the income. Another one may be to buy a food truck. Another one might be move to a stadium that allows you to do concessions. Let's go into another one. Let's say, for example, right now that you either don't provide merchandise, which I think most of the teams do. Most of the teams are providing it by buying that from a printer. And this can be tricky because some of the organizations require that you buy at least 50 or at least 144. I don't know where 144 came from. I guess dozens. But if you're in a situation where you're having to buy 144 of a t-shirt, find a situation where you only have to buy 50, or you can buy 10, or you can buy 12, whatever it is. So your expansion agenda would be to expand your ability to provide more types of t-shirts as opposed to one t-shirt with this one logo on it because you have to buy 144 of them. So an expansion agenda may be moving from buying 144 to sell to being able to find a vendor that'll give you 50, or moving to a situation where you're using the online Vistaprint or there's a couple of Zazzle does a program for people to buy t-shirts. But whatever it is in your area and your business that you want to expand, maybe something is going okay and you want to make it better, or something is going great and you want to make it extraordinary, whatever it is, that's your expansion agenda. Now, there are various other things with regard to expansion that you could be using, but it's really up to the women's football team or super small biz to do that. I hope that you guys have enjoyed the extra 9 exclusive components to the super small biz plan. These are what I've created as a consultant to super small biz. So they're not available anywhere else. Again, action plan, customer connection strategy, promotional calendar, contingency plan, responsibility chart, community involvement program, social media blueprint, growth proposition, and expansion agenda. I share that on the women's football page. Feel free to use that in your business planning and call and ask me any questions that you have. Real quick, I'll share with you. The way to get a hold of us is the supersmallbiz.com, and you can contact us through there. But any of the women's football information is in a tab under supersmallbiz.com. You go under the women's football tab, and we have information for players, coaches, support staff, and owners. Next week, I'm going to be talking a little bit about some ways that women's football players can make it so they don't have to pay to play. And so I'm really excited about that. A lot of people think that the players have to pay to be able to play. And that's just not true. There are other ways that players can raise the funds for their playing without coming out of pocket. So I'm happy to share those with the teams, and hopefully some of the teams will either incorporate those on their own or players will be able to incorporate those. I just wanted to share with you a couple announcements just because our staff is kind of combing the women's football websites. Hold on just a second. That's my phone going crazy. And I wanted to share with you a couple things. So the Dallas Elite, we just had our first tryout over the weekend. It was very successful. We were very happy with it. We are going to have another tryout the weekend of October 6th. Saturday, October 6th is when Dallas Elite has their tryout. We also have, let's see here, the Richmond Black Widows. They have announced their next three tryouts. So if you're in Richmond, Virginia, the WFA team there, the RichmondBlackWidows.com, October 6th, November 3rd, and December 1st. October 6th, November 3rd, and December 1st are their tryout dates. And then let's see here. Mile High Blaze has announced on their Facebook page, September 22nd is going to be a tryout for them. So if you're in the in the Denver area, and I reached out to the Colorado Freeze, and as soon as I get a response from them about when they are going to have their tryouts, I'll be more than happy to put those on there. Hold on just a second. I'm just going to check and see if they've responded with their dates. With that being said, the Arlington Impact, that is located in Arlington, Texas, their tryouts, they have two listed right now, September 15th and October 20th. Let's see here. Hold on. I've got a response from Toledo Rain. They have not set up their tryouts yet, but as soon as they do, they're going to let us know. Thank you so much to the Toledo Rain. And then I got, let's see here, South Carolina has responded to me. They are going to have, let's see here, they're going to have a scrimmage. So the South Carolina Smash of the WFA are going to have a scrimmage on September 15th at 7 p.m. at Seven Oaks Park in, I want to say it, I hope I say it right, Irmo, South Carolina. And they are working on their next tryout. So I will keep you posted. They're going to keep me posted. I appreciate that. Shout out to the South Carolina Smash. So I got Richmond Black Widows, October 6th, Arlington Impact, September 15th and October 20th, Mile High Blaze, September 22nd. If you guys are in those area and interested in playing women's football, I hope you go out. It's super fun and the ladies are a blast. So I want to real quick transition to our next topic for today, which is what questions you should be asking if you are planning on going into a league or even a team. Make sure that you know what league the team is playing in, what league they played in last year, what league they're going into, a variety of things. So I wanted to talk to people about the women's football leagues because I've been getting questions about what my perception is and how I feel about it. The WFA is the league that we are a part of. And in the past, a lot of you know that I used to own the Lone Star Mustangs, the Little Rock Wildcats, and the Tulsa Eagles. All of those teams were part of the WFA. When we moved, we gave the teams to the players, and they continued in the WFA. And then I think the Tulsa Eagles became the Tulsa Threat. They moved, they stayed in the WFA as a Tulsa Threat and then moved to the IWFL, and they are back in the WFA. Shout out to the Tulsa Threat. But those teams are part of the WFA as well. But when I was asked to come back into women's football, we were very excited and glad to be part of the WFA. So I think that's a testament to the Women's Football Alliance that you are welcome back to the Football Alliance. You know, I was allowed back. We do things right. We pay our bills. We take care of business. So we are very, very proud to be part of Women's Football Alliance. This year so far, we're sitting at about 70 teams throughout the U.S. We're on target to hit 80 teams. My goal is to lift these teams up, teams that are struggling in one area or another, and who isn't, right? Teams that have questions or not sure how to do certain things. My goal as a team owner and with a large amount of experience in women's football, past and present, I've learned how to plan things out and strategize as a business owner in women's football. I've also had to learn how to do it on the fly and quickly. When you come into women's football in February and you're wanting to field a team in April, you got to do things fast and you got to do things quickly, but you got to do them right. So we are very happy that last year was our first year back into women's football as co-owners of the Dallas Elite. But we had a very short timeline, but we were still able to get it done, field a team, have success on the field, have success in the community. So we were really excited about last year. My goal with women's football is to help all the teams, Division 1, 2, and 3, to have better businesses. Now, no matter what kind of business you have right now, it can always get better. It can always be more successful. So whatever issues or things that people are worried about or concerned about or don't know about, please reach out to other WFA owners and let them know, and we will help you every way we can. So my goal is to make the team successful. That includes the players, the coaches, the staff, and the owners. That's one reason why I created the Women's Football Success, because it's hard to package that all into one type of person, because you have various types of audiences, if you would, within women's football. So the players are not as interested in certain things as owners are, and vice versa. Owners aren't as interested in how players can make money or how coaches can be more successful in their personal. So I wanted to make sure that as I created the website and created the content, that I have specific content that goes for players, coaches, staff, and owners. And that way everybody is on the same page as far as trying to be successful, but there's different ideas of what is success with each of those categories. Women's football is on the verge of great things. I want to provide sound guidance for teams to prosper in today's economy, because even though I'm an owner of a team, it is a win-win situation for all of the other teams in our league to be successful and to share a great product with each individual community. Like I said, women's football is on the verge of huge things, partnerships and advancement for women's football players. However, the creation of new leagues and splitting off of teams, it creates confusion, and that confusion that it causes is the worst thing for women's football. I predict that this confusion, this scatteredness, will set back women's football by about 5 years. And it's unfortunate that that's happening. But it is what it is. So I feel like it's very important for women's football teams and for leagues and for people that are wanting to support teams and leagues to ask questions. It's important for people to do their due diligence. And several people have heard that and said, what is due diligence? Due diligence is an investigation. doing your due diligence is, by definition, it's the research or an act of doing something with a certain standard of care. So doing your due diligence means investigating on an educated level, investigating and getting to the bottom, knowing all of the details before making a decision will make it an educated decision. So questions that you should be asking a potential team if you're a player, or a league if you're a team, are different, but very similar. If it's a potential sponsor asking a question of a league or a team, then they're gonna have different questions, but still, they still need to give those questions their importance. So questions that a team or a league or a sponsor should ask of them is, what are the biggest challenges that they have right now? Is it the average number of fans in the stands or local community awareness? It's very difficult for somebody to give, say, $25,000 to teams that have an average of 250 people in the stands. Mathematically, it's just not a sound business decision for somebody to give a significant amount of money for that potential cost, I guess. They're wanting, for $25,000, they're wanting to reach a lot of people. And if you only have 250 people in your stands, then the chances of you getting a $25,000 sponsor are very slim. Another question is, what do you need from or require of me? So as a player should be asking this of a team, what is required of me? And a team should be asking this of a league, what is required of me? Now in the WFA, each team pays a league fee depending on what division that team is participating in. Now, just because you're in a division doesn't mean that you're only going to play that division's team. So, for example, if you're in Division II, you're not necessarily going to play just Division II teams, because we would have to have 60 teams in Division I, 60 teams in Division II, and 60 teams in Division III to make that possible and economical for travel, right? Otherwise, if you just play Division III teams, then you may be flying from one area way far, 20 hours to another team. And that's just not economical for any teams. So each team pays a fee for the division that they're participating in. And there's kind of like a set of qualifications that makes you a Division I, II, or III team. And but there's also some discussion about, do you belong in a Tier 2 or a Tier 3 or a Tier 1? So you pay your fee, you get several things for that fee. You get the game balls, you get your roster set up, you get the game scheduling, you're able to participate in playoffs and championship, you're eligible for those. Now, not all teams go to the playoffs, obviously, makes sense. I've heard of some discussion about how it's not fair that the team gives a league gives money to playoff teams when they go to playoffs. And that's how it's structured to be able to make an impact on travel expenses per team. So you need to check and see, what does the team need from the player and what does the league need from the team? Now, a league cannot require you to start another business. So if your league is saying that, you're required to do this in a certain amount of time, a league cannot require you to start another football team or another business within your business. That being said, you want to ask, what is the financial situation, whether it be the league, the team, or the player, right? What is the financial situation? Most teams raise funds, charge players fees, and get sponsorships, and the rest falls on the owner. So you'll want to be asking these team owners and these league owners, who's going to pay for what? And I would suggest get it in writing, right? With the WFA, the WFA has it spelled out on their website, WFAProFootball.com. It's spelled out exactly what a team gets for their paying of the fee, right? The next thing that I wanted to talk about, and these are all questions. These aren't just questions I made up. These are all questions that I got from either entrepreneur.com, inc.com, and other business websites about what to ask your potential partners or potential business partners, because that's exactly what it is. Your league is your partner, correct? The league is a partner with the team. The team partners with the league. And you are partners with all the other teams in the league, per se. So these aren't just questions I made up to be able to ask these questions. These are questions that people should be asking. And if they're not, you're getting yourself into a situation where you're not making educated decisions. Other questions that you'd want to ask of your team and your league is, what is the potential expectation for time involvement? Now, from a player to a team, how many practices am I supposed to go to? What days are the practices? Am I required to go to all practices? What about fundraisers? Your team should be able to spell that out for you. What's going to be required of you and what's going to be not optional, not mandatory. And a league should be able to spell that out for you as well. Now, if you are a team and the model is that players do not pay, then it should be lined out there somewhere that teams cannot charge players. And that should be in writing. A player should know when they sign up for that team that they are not going to have to pay. And that has to go with any of those things. Expectations of time involved, expectations of responsibilities and requirements. Another question that you might want to ask when you're doing your due diligence is there something in the potential partner's life that will make your partnership secondary? So if you are coming onto the team or your team's coming onto the league, is there something in your partner's life that will make your partnership secondary to their objective? So what is the reason for the league? Is it because the way other leagues did something was unacceptable? Or is it because the teams aren't going to that league or aren't allowed in that league or don't want to be in that league? What is the reason why for a new league? What is the reason for a new team? Is there a reason for a new team because there's no team that exists in that area? Or is it because the team that's there, some people don't want to do it the way they do it, so they're just going to make a new team? And those are all questions that you guys should be asking. Players, support staff, owners, team owners, team support staff, and leagues themselves. The next question that was provided from the list of questions that I went through is, what is the potential partner standing in the community? Now, as a player, you want to make sure that you're getting onto a team that is looked upon well in the community. A lot of people talk about this in women's football, that they have a big problem getting fields because men's semi-pro teams that came before didn't pay their bills. Now, that's a problem, and sometimes the women's football teams can get over it. They can prove to the stadium that they will pay their bills. But you need to look at that as well. If you're getting onto a team, how is that team looked upon in the community? Do they pay their bills? Do they do things legitimately? And then, of course, teams going into a league, teams need to decide whether they want to be partnered with the same or other teams that are coming into the same league, right? And then there's various other things. Most importantly is, are they willing to put everything in writing? So if a player comes to a team and that team says, I'm not going to require you to pay any player fee, will they put it in writing? Or if that player comes to the team and says, you're only going to be required to participate in two mandatory fundraisers, are they willing to put it in writing? If they're willing to put it in writing, great. That puts you on a better level playing field. If they're sneaking around and they won't sign the paper and they're hiding it, that's an indication that there's a problem. There's a concern. Why isn't it out in the public what the details are? Why, you know, why can't we share with everybody that this is what a sponsorship package is, or this is how many sponsors we have? Those are all things that need to be put in writing. Now, if same thing with teams to a league, any league, the team should be able to get it in writing from the league, what's going to happen, what their requirements are, how things are going to go. And that's very important that it be in writing and very detailed. Can't be very general. Can't be, oh, we're going to work out the details later. Now, what happens if things don't work out? What happens if the player comes to the team and they don't want to be part of the team? That should be all written out. Same thing with teams to leagues. What happens if a team decides they don't want to be part of that league? Can they go over to another league? Those are things that should be in writing. Now, it's not really, you probably wouldn't be able to enforce it if a team wants to go over to another league and doesn't want to play in your league. You probably can't do anything about it. Same thing with players. If they want to go play in a different league, probably can't do anything about that. But you want to make sure that you get this stuff in writing and you get it in detailed writing. So if teams get us, say, a percentage in sponsorship, how does that work out? So let's just say that a team gets a sponsor. Let's say the league gets a sponsorship. And let's say that it's, for number's sake, let's say a league gets a sponsorship for $16,000. I don't know, from Budweiser or something. So a league gets a sponsorship for $16,000. And the league's going to get 50% of that. And the rest of the teams, if there's 16 teams, are going to get the rest. So 16,000 divided in half is $8,000. Each team would get $500 from a $16,000 sponsorship. Now, what needs to happen is people need to weigh the pros and cons of that. Is that going to make up the difference in the cost of travel that I'm going to have to travel if our league only has 16 teams? Some leagues only have 8 teams, and their travel is pretty far. So that can be a struggle if the team or if the league is not going to take on some of that travel expense. I would hope that if there's only 16 teams throughout the U.S. or 12 teams throughout the U.S., that that would happen. We, at one point, we had, talking about history as far as women's football leagues, at one point we had an organization that came in and had us all fly to a location. It was the top, I want to say 12 teams. My husband says 16 teams. I just can't remember because it was like 7 years ago. But they had us fly to a location and they presented us with an idea that they were going to provide all the travel costs for every team. They were going to give each team $100,000 to travel or to use however they wanted, but that each team would be traveling by airplane. Each team would be televised, each game would be televised, etc. We got down and we all agreed to be part of this thing. We asked that the money be put into escrow, $1 million. The money never showed. And we all went back on our way. with the respective league that we were in. We were in the WFA. So we all just went back to where things were. It's very, very difficult to get the amount of sponsorships that are needed to do that. So the money never showed up, and we never created this super league, I guess you could call it. So let's go back to what happens if it doesn't work out. Is there anything in writing that says what happens if it doesn't work out? What if you get to a league and they really don't play the games, or they really don't have the teams that they say they have, or how does that work? Another question that you want to ask of your team and your league is, what are the visions for the future? And are they the same as yours? Now, if you're a player and you're just doing this for, you know, physical activity, and your job really requires a lot of you, and you're not looking for publicity or fame or growth in the sport, then you want to ask that question. What is the vision for the future? Is this right for me? On the opposite side of that, if you are looking to become the best known female football player of all, then you probably need to align yourself with particular people or a different way of doing things. Another question that was created was, when you're going into a partnership with a league or a team, because even the players are partners with the team, correct? Do both companies have realistic goals? Do you think you're going to get famous off of being a women football player? Is this realistic for you when you only have 250 people in the stands? And then ultimately you need to ask yourself, does the business plan make sense? Does what the team or the league make sense to what you think is goes back to the other one, realistic? Can they charge me a $250 player fee and still be able to afford to do all these things? And if they charge me the $250 player fee, are they going to come back and ask for more money? Does it make sense that $250 would be able to pay for all of my travel to 4 away games and then to postseason travel? Or do you think realistically that postseason fundraisers would need to be gotten to be able to pay for that travel? It's very, you know, it's very simplistic in nature, but people aren't asking themselves these questions when they're partnering with a football team or with a football league. So I just wanted to share some things because people have been calling and asking me, how do I feel about this? And what do I think about this? And so I just wanted to share that anytime that I create a business, I first start with the first part of my radio show today on business planning. I go through and I do my due diligence, and I see if it's realistic, if it's a feasible idea to start this business. And if it's not a feasible business, I don't start it. It's as simple as that. If I look at the numbers and it's going to be so hard to make money, or I don't know, I'm teetering on whether it's going to make money or not, then it's not a feasible business idea. And then I go through and say, who am I partnering with? Who is important? What is important to my business being successful? And in women's football, it is important that I partner with players on my team that strive for our same goal. If it's a player coming to our team and they don't have the same goals as the team, then they're probably not going to be a fit for our organization. And same thing with a league. From a team to a league. If I'm going into a league that doesn't share the same vision as I do, then we're going to struggle. There's going to be some issues. So that's all on a business planning standpoint. But as a business owner, I always ask these questions or investigate or research, however you want to do it. And I use a standard of care that's very high because I want to be connected with and associated with businesses that are doing things on the same level as my business. And that includes everything from a business standpoint to ethics to legality. I want to make sure that the other businesses that I'm working with are doing the same things. So feel free. I appreciate the time that you guys have spent with me today. These are questions that I would ask if I was a player going to a team, and these are questions that I would ask if I was a team going to a league. Once again, I really appreciate you guys coming. This is episode 1821. You can find all this information on Women's Football Success. We have a Facebook group that you can become a part of. So if you go to www.supersmallbiz.com, there's a tab there for women's football all by itself, and it has a drop-down menu for owners, coaches, support staff, and players. I know that the content recently has been a lot of ownership, but that's because I'm trying to get all the owners kind of on board and in one place with regards to business planning and the business side. Now, we have been peppering it with support staff and players a lot, and then we're getting ready to put in our coaching program. But you can also listen to all of these episodes of the radio show on Blog Talk Radio as part of JC Hawk's network. Again, I really appreciate you guys listening, and if you want to send me a message that about something I could talk about next week, I really appreciate it. And if you are in the towns where these tryouts are happening, go check out a tryout and have some fun with women's football. You guys have a good day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.